There was this kitten that had climbed up a tree in a pastor's backyard, even offered warm milk, yet the kitten was too afraid to come on down. The tree wasn't sturdy enough to climb, so the pastor got this brilliant idea. He'd tie a rope around the tree, and then the other end, he'd tie it around his vehicle. And he thought, if I could just bend the tree far enough down, he could grab the kitten. He kept checking his progress as he went, moving the car just a little bit at a time. And he finally saw that he just needed to move it just a few more inches, and the branch would be low enough for him to be able to grab the kitten. As he began moving the car forward, the rope snapped. The tree went boing, and the kitten went instantly sailing through the air and out of sight. The pastor, who was a much better man than I am, he felt terrible. He began to search all over the neighborhood, asking people if they have seen a stray kitten. And no one had seen this kitten at all, so the pastor began to pray. He said, "Lord, I just commit this kitten to your keeping." That's all he could do, and so he went home and he went about his business. A few days later, the pastor bumped into one of his church members at the grocery store, and he noticed that she was buying some cat food. He knew this woman hated cats. Everyone knew it. So he asked her, "Why are you buying cat food when you hate cats so much?" She replied, "Pastor, you will not believe this. My little girl has been begging me to buy her a kitten. And of course I refused because, as you know, I hate cats. Then a few days ago, she began to beg me again. And so finally I told her, if God gives you a cat, you can keep it." I watched this little girl go out into the yard. She got onto her knees and she began to ask God for a cat. "Pastor, I know you won't believe this, but I saw it with my very own eyes. A kitten suddenly came flying out of the blue sky with its paws outstretched and landed right in front of her. What could I do but let her keep her cat?" Here's two things I want you to learn from this story. Number one, never promise something to your children that you don't want. And second, never underestimate the power of prayer. Next week, we're going to be starting our 40 days of prayer and fasting, and we're asking you to take these next 40 days and to fast something as we lead up to Easter. Whether it's a meal, whether it's a certain type of food or something else, we want you to take time to fast something and talk to God. Talk to God about your prayer life. Talk to Him about your family. Ask Him to give you an opportunity to share your faith and to invite your friends and neighbors to join with you for our Easter service. Will you stand with me this morning out of respect for reading the Word of God? I want to read from Luke chapter 11. It says, "Once Jesus was in a certain place praying, and as he finished, one of his disciples came to him and said, 'Lord, teach us to pray just as John taught his disciples.' Jesus said, 'This is how you should pray. Father, may your name be kept holy. May your kingdom come soon. Give us each day the food we need, and forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. And don't let us yield to temptation.' Then, teaching them more about prayer, he used this story. Suppose you went to a friend's house at midnight, wanting to borrow 3 loaves of bread. You say to him, 'A friend of mine has just arrived for a visit, and I have nothing for him to eat.' And suppose he calls out to you from his bedroom, 'Don't bother me. The door is locked for the night, and my family and I are all in bed. I can't help you.' But I tell you this, though he won't do it for friendship's sake, if you keep knocking long enough, he will get up and give you whatever you need because you're shameless persistence. And so I tell you, keep on asking, and you will receive what you ask for. Keep on seeking, and you will find. Keep on knocking, and the door will be open to you. For everyone who asks, receives. Everyone who seeks, finds. And to everyone who knocks, the door will be open. Let's pray. Father, I pray as we get ready for these next 40 days that are leading us up to Easter, God, may we seek after you. May we desire to know you and draw closer to you. And God, may we pray big, bold prayers. Prayers for our family, prayers for our country, prayers for the world. God, that people will come to know you. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. See, the disciples, they saw something different about Jesus' prayer life, and they wanted to learn how to pray just like him. And so Jesus shares with them what we call the Lord's Prayer, this template of how we should approach God in our prayer life. And then Jesus shares an illustration with them to help them understand that when we ask God for something, or when we seek after him, God will reveal himself to us. We will find him. And so this morning, I want to talk to you about how our focus of God really shapes who we are, and it shapes how we pray and fast. Number one, prayer and fasting, it reflects my faith in God. What you pray for, or even what you don't pray for, it really does reflect our beliefs about God, how we view God. If you don't pray at all, that conveys the idea that maybe you don't believe in God at all. Or maybe that you don't believe he answers prayers, so why even bother praying? Or if you pray small prayers, then that may just suggest that you believe God doesn't want to answer big prayers. And if almost all our prayers are for ourselves, or we're just asking God to bless us, or to help us, or just to be with us, then we may look at God as just being there to serve us. Maybe you're the type of person who tries to do everything on your own. And when you find yourself in a tough situation and you're looking at how to get out of it, you're doing everything you can to get through this problem. And then when you've tried everything on your own power to try to fix and resolve this issue, when you've done everything you know what to do, then you think, well, maybe I should just pray. And so if prayer is your last resort, then you're treating God as a backup plan rather than the source of our strength and our guidance. And so I want you to think about, what have you been praying about for this past week? Think through all the different things right now of what you prayed for. And outside of praying over your food and asking God to bless it and a good night's sleep, what did you ask God for this week? A couple years ago, I was pulling out all the shrubs and bushes in our backyard, and it was taking a long time, and I just thought, you know what, this is the perfect opportunity to just use it as a time of prayer. And so I'd pray, and then all of a sudden, I got this brilliant idea about praying. We've been paying Jeanette's school loans, and we still have a good chunk to pay off, like the rest of the college debt students, right? And I thought, God, how cool would it be as I'm digging up our backyard if I find a big, giant gold brick? God, that would be wonderful. Or God, how about rubies or diamonds like they're finding in Georgia? God, you can do this, and we could instantly pay off all our debts. I'd love to be able to say God did that for me. He didn't. But if he does that for you, you let me know, because I want you to be praying for me, all right? But I thought, let's pray some big prayers, some out-of-the-box, huge, that only God can do prayers. And so I hope you thought about the different prayers that you've prayed for this past week, and I want to ask you, what would have happened if God answered yes to all of your prayers this past week? How would your life be different? Or better yet, How would the world be different if God answered yes to all your prayers? See, if you pray like most people, we pray for things for us or our family, for the people around us. And if God answers yes to every one of those prayers in our life, then really our life is the only thing that's changed. The world pretty much stays the same. If you're single and you prayed to meet someone and God gave you a boyfriend and a girlfriend, your life is different. The world stays the same. You received a raise at your job, or they accepted the lowball offer that you put on the house. Or maybe your friend was healed of cancer. If we pray these type of prayers, which are perfectly fine for, and God wants us to pray those kind of prayers, but if that's our only focus in our prayer time, then the only thing that changes is the things that are in our immediate circle. The world still stays the same. In Luke 14, 12, it says, I tell you for certain that if you have the faith in me, you'll do the same things I am doing. You'll do even greater things now that I'm going back to the Father. Ask me, and I will do whatever you ask. This way, the Son will bring honor to the Father. I will do whatever you ask me to do. See, God invites us to come to him in prayer and to ask for the small things, the personable things. But he doesn't want us to stop there. He wants us to come and ask him for the big, bold prayers that are impossible to accomplish all on our own. And so when we come to God and we ask him for the big things, it begins to increase our faith. We begin to believe in God. We begin to trust in him and rely on him. And God begins to move in us and through us as he makes our prayers a reality. Mark Batterson said this in the book, The Circle Maker: bold prayers honor God, and God honors bold prayers. God isn't offended by your biggest dreams or boldest prayers. He's offended by anything less. If your prayers aren't impossible to you, they're insulting to God. When we pray the prayers that are bigger than ourselves, we're asking God to do something that only he can do. We're asking him to use us and allow us to be a part of what he wants to do in this world. And as we take this step of faith and begin to pray, God begins to shape our heart. He begins to shape our prayers. And we will begin to see God move in our lives, through our lives. And not just in the people close to us, but through our community, our nation, and the world. You see, prayer and fasting, it focuses my desires as well. When Jeanette was going off to Macedonia to be a missionary, she wanted to just stay focused on what she was going to be doing, the missions work that she was going to be doing over the seas. And she was only supposed to be gone for 1 year, and that 1 year turned into 3 years. But when I heard that she was finally coming back home, I have to tell you, that got my attention. I started thinking about her again. And then when she finally made it back to the States, I gave her a call. See, back then, it cost a lot of money to call internationally. And so I called her, and I was down in Florida. I was finishing up my schooling, and she was back here in Michigan, and I told her, you know, I want to come back, and I'm going to be visiting at home, and I want to get together, and I want to hear about everything that was going on and all the ministry that you were doing over in Macedonia. And I have to be honest, for the 2 year period that she had been gone, I really wasn't thinking much about her. But when I heard she was coming back, it got my attention. And when I came home to visit with her, and we talked and we caught up, and I have to tell you, the desire to have that relationship with her, it grew again, and the fires were stoked. And needless to say, as we hung out, as we talked, as we caught up, it ignited that desire to be together again, and they say the rest is history. For many, when we pray and fast, we're trying to get something from God. We may fast and pray and say, God, I need you to do this for me. When we take time to fast, our attitude shouldn't be, God, do this for me. Our attitude should be, God, I need you in my life. I want you in my life. I need to experience your presence. I need to experience you. I have to commune with you. I want to be with you. I want to know you so much that I am willing to refrain from food just so that I can be closer to you. John Piper said this about fasting: in the gnawing ache of growing hunger is the engine of fasting, generating the reminder to bend our longings for food Godward and inspire intensified longings for Jesus. Fasting is the physical exclamation point at the end of the sentence, this much, O God, I need you. I need you. And so through our prayers, through fasting, it refocuses our desire. It helps us to see, you know, if our thoughts about God has begun to shift it away, if our love for God has begun to wane, if we've begin to neglect our relationship with him. Life gets difficult. Life gets busy. And so with all the things going on in our life, maybe our focus has shifted away from wanting to experience everything God has for us to thinking, you know what? Sunday service is good enough for me. When we fast and pray, we're telling God, I want you. We find this kind of longing in the words of Psalm 42. It says, as a deer longs for flowing streams, so my soul longs for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When may I come to see God's face? Have you ever been thirsty? Really thirsty? Maybe you went for a long run in the summer. I remember doing two-day practices in high school in the middle of summer, and when it was time for that water break, we were thirsty. We were pushing people out of the way to get to that water. Maybe you were outside mowing the lawn and edging the sidewalk, and you're out in the summer for 2 hours, and you're thirsty. You walk inside, and the first thing you do is you immediately pour yourself a glass of water. And so the psalmist compares the panting of the deer to this extreme thirst of his soul, longing to know God. He's saying, God, you are constantly on my mind. My desire is to know you. I want to experience you. I want to find satisfaction in you. And so when I pray and fast, I'm focusing my desire onto the one who deserves it all. I don't have ADD, but it's easy to lose focus. It's easy to quickly just shift. I can be in my office writing a message, and all of a sudden there's a knock on the door, and it shifts to who's at that door. If you've ever seen the movie Up, you understand. Squirrel, right? Our focus can quickly shift from God to other things. And when we begin to look at ourselves and look at our problems, we can become worn down, we can become discouraged, frustrated in life, and even feel powerless. But when we begin to pray and fast, that physical hunger we feel reminds us of our soul's hunger for God. And we're reminded of what the psalmist wrote in Psalm 34:8. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Oh, the joys of those who take refuge in him. And so prayer and fasting, it reignites this desire of wanting God in our life, to know him, to long to be in his presence. And then third, prayer and fasting, it focuses my purpose. There's a story of a man who was visiting a building site, and he saw three people working really hard, and he was curious as to what they were working on. And so he approached the first person, and he asked, "What are you doing?" And that first person looked up and answered, "I'm building a wall." The man looked at his work. He nodded in his agreement, and he moved along. He found the second person and asked the person, "What are you building?" The person responded, "I'm building a church." The man nodded again and moved along and finally spotted the last person working on the similar part of the building. And once again, he asked the same question, "What are you doing?" And he responded, "I'm building the house of God." Here we have three people who are working on the same exact building, and yet they all had very different views of what they were working on. The first person only saw the literal work that they were doing, and he missed the reason and the purpose for what he was building. Donald Whitney said this about the purpose of fasting: "Fasting must always have a spiritual purpose, a God-centered purpose, not a self-centered one, for the Lord to bless our fast. Thoughts of food must prompt thoughts for God. They must not distract us, but instead remind us of one purpose. Rather than focusing the mind on food, we should use the desire to eat as a reminder to pray and to reconsider our purpose." See, prayer and fasting, it goes hand in hand. And if you fast or abstain from eating food for a certain amount of time, but you don't include praying, seeking after God, that's called a diet. You're just cutting calories. When we decide to fast, it's an outward expression of an inward commitment to pursue God. We slow down, and I like what Donald Whitney said. When we experience those hunger pains, when we experience those cravings for food, it should immediately prompt us to think about God. Throughout the Bible, we see fasting as a part of life for God's people. Whether it was in response to tragedies like death or to repent from sin, other times fasting would occur during natural crises or danger. They would seek after God to ask him for protection during war, imminent destruction. Other times we see in the Bible where they were fasting for safety. They would fast for safety or protection. And we see in the book of Ezra, he's leading a group of exiles back to Jerusalem, and he didn't want to ask the king to bring soldiers to accompany him, because he told him, he said, "Listen, King, God is with us. God's hand of protection is upon us." And so Ezra 8:21, it says, "And there by the Ahava Canal, I gave orders for all of us to fast and humble ourselves before our God. We prayed that he would give us safe journey and protect us, our children, and our goods as we travel." They're traveling with children. They're taking treasure like silver and gold to be used in the temple. They were expecting bandits. And they ask God, "Keep us safe as we travel." Every time our family goes on a trip, before we take off, we stop and we just ask God, "God, have your hand upon us. Watch over us and keep us safe as we travel." See, we fast to seek God's guidance as well. We don't fast to try to change God's mind or change God's guidance and directions for our life, but to make us receptive to God's guidance, to help us understand what God wants to do. In Judges 20:26, it says, "Then all the Israelites went up to Bethel and wept in the presence of the Lord and fasted until evening. They also brought burnt offerings and peace offerings to the Lord. The Israelites went up seeking direction from the Lord. Israel is seeking God's guidance. They're seeking God's direction on what to do with the tribe of Benjamin. And instead of making a quick, rash decision, all on their own, they take time to pray and fast and seek God and seek His understanding of what He wants them to do. And God wants us to come to Him. God wants us to pursue Him. God wants us to seek Him and His guidance for our life as well. We also see that we can fast to express grief. Have you ever noticed that when you're grieving, when you're really moved to tears, you kind of lose the urge to eat? Your family and friends, they may have to encourage you to eat and keep reminding you, you need to eat something. In 2 Samuel 1, verse 11, it says, David and his men tore their clothes in sorrow when they heard the news. They mourned and wept and fasted all day for Saul and his son Jonathan, and for the Lord's army and the nation of Israel, because they had died by the sword that day. David is grieving that King Saul and his best friend Jonathan died. And in grief, he begins to fast and pray. In our grief, we can turn to God in prayer and fasting. And we can trust Him to bring healing to our broken hearts. We can fast to draw closer to God. When we're fasting, it quickly reminds us of just how much we depend on food and water to survive. God created our bodies to eat and to have water, and we need those to survive. And when we skip a meal or a two, and it really does reveal just how weak our bodies are. Fasting shows us that we really are dependent on God for the nourishment of our physical lives. As we fast, just like our bodies become weaker, we should become more humble and obedient to God. As we pray and fast, our thoughts should begin to shift from our life, our concerns, our cares, to God. We should begin to focus on Him. James 4:8 says, come close to God, and God will come close to you. Maybe you felt at times God's presence, and as you pray, as you sing and worship, as you walk with Him. But maybe at other times you feel like He's been very distant and silent. What if in those silent moments, God has been inviting you to come closer to Him, to seek Him, and to seek Him intentionally? God promises that if we come close to Him, if we seek Him, if we go after Him, He'll meet us right where we're at. He will reveal Himself to us. And then we also fast to express repentance. If you remember the story of Jonah, the one thing that really does stick out to us is he got swallowed by a big giant fish. But the reason he got swallowed by a big giant fish is because he refused to go to the city of Nineveh and tell them how God was going to bring judgment upon them. And so he decides to flee from God, as if that's possible, and gets on a boat, and a huge storm comes. And all the sailors throw Jonah overboard, and a big giant fish swallows him. What's crazy about this story is it took Jonah 3 days in the belly of a fish to come to his senses and to pray to God and ask God for repentance and say sorry, and I will do what you're going to want me to do. 3 days. He wasn't swimming around in there like in the movie Pinocchio. 3 days. The fish spits him out, and he goes to the city of Nineveh and tells them God is going to bring judgment upon them. In Jonah 3:5, it says, the people of Nineveh believed God's message, so they decided that everyone should fast, and all the people, from the greatest to the least, put on sackcloth to show that they had repented. The people of Nineveh, they didn't just regret their actions. They turned from them. Nineveh was a wicked city. And they repented and turned from them. They refused to eat. They put on sackcloth to acknowledge their guilt, to show their repentance. They felt the depth of their sin and responded by crying out to God for mercy and seeking his forgiveness. When we pray and fast, God will reveal areas in our life that we're going to have to let go. Maybe it's not necessarily sin, but maybe it's something that's holding us back from our relationship with God. Maybe there is areas in our life that God will reveal that are sinful and that we do need to cry out and ask for forgiveness and repent. When we pray and fast, God's going to reveal those areas. And the best thing that we can do, don't wait 3 days like Jonah, but immediately confess it. Ask for forgiveness. And God will forgive you. And so what are we to do with all this as we look at our growth work this morning? As we prepare for these next 40 days leading up to Easter, I want to ask you to ask God to prepare your heart. Ask God to reveal any area in your life that's holding you back from your relationship with God. What is it that's holding you back? Is it sports? Maybe ask God that question after tonight's game. But what's holding you back? Maybe there's something that you need to ask God for forgiveness. In Psalm 139, it says, search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. Point out anything in me that offends you, and lead me along the path of everlasting life. The foundation of prayer and fasting, it starts with repentance. If you leave sin unconfessed, it's going to hinder your prayers. God's not going to be able to do what he wants to do in your life. And so start by asking God to search your heart, to reveal any kind of sin in your life that you need to ask for forgiveness for. Maybe it's some areas that God wants to do some extra work on. But ask God to search your heart, to reveal and enlighten those areas, to shine a bright spotlight on it. Second, decide what you're going to fast. Ask God, what is it that you want me to give up these next 40 days? Maybe it's a meal every day. Maybe it's certain types of foods. Maybe your body physically can't fast a meal. So maybe it's cutting out some screen time or social activities. Whatever it is, make sure that you replace it with time devoted to God. Because if you're not, if you don't include God in all of this, you're missing the point. God wants you to seek after him, to draw close to him. And then third, believe God for something big. Ask God for something big. What is it that you want to see God do in you and through you these next 40 days as we pray and fast? Do you need guidance over something in your life? Are you asking God to bring healing to you or to someone you know? Ephesians 3:20 says, glory belongs to God, whose power is at work in us. By this power, he can do infinitely more than we can ask or imagine. Anybody got a good imagination? God can do more than that. Have you ever been to a restaurant with your children and you say, you know what, order whatever you want? That could be dangerous because they'll say, okay, challenge accepted. And they will order the most expensive thing on that menu. If you give someone the green light to ask for anything, they're going to ask for the biggest and best that they have to offer. And this verse is telling us God can do infinitely more than we ask or we can imagine. I was praying for a gold brick. I should have prayed for Fort Knox. God can do more. And God wants us to come to him and ask him to do something that's bigger than us. We just need to believe that not only he can, but he will. And so as we begin our 40 days of prayer and fasting, I want to encourage you to believe for something big. Believe that God is going to do something in your life, not just for you, but for others, that God will use you. And so this morning, as we close, will you stand with me this morning? I want to invite you to come and join me up front here. And I want you to find a time right now and just begin to get alone with God and talk with him. Ask him to search your heart. Ask him to point out anything in your life that offends him. Ask him. Ask him, what do you want me to give up these next 40 days? It may be challenging. It may be difficult. And that's a good thing. Because as we struggle with that, it forces us to say, God, I need you. I need your strength. I need you to help me. Ask him to put some big God-sized dreams in your heart to pray over these next 40 days. And so will you join me right now and come on down and find a place here. Let's take a few moments and spend seeking after God in prayer. And then I'll close in prayer in a little bit.
This is where I lay it down, every burden, every crown. This is my surrender. Here is where I lay it down, every lie and every doubt. This is my surrender. I will make room for you to do whatever you want to. Do whatever you want to. I will make room for you to do whatever you want to. To do whatever you want to. Here is where I lay it down, every burden, every crown. This is my surrender. Here is where I lay it down, every lie and every doubt. This is my surrender. Lord, I will make room for you to do whatever you want to. To do whatever you want.
Here this morning and or watching online, and you haven't made room for Jesus in your life. You haven't invited him into your life, and you want to begin that relationship with him this morning. Will you pray with me right now quietly? Just say, Jesus, I thank you for dying on a cross for me. And I ask you to come and forgive me of all my sins. And though I don't understand everything, I do know I need you in my life. I need to make room for you today. And so help me to live faithfully for you. Help me to live the life that you created me to live, glorifying you. And help me each day to know you more and to experience everything that you have to offer. I pray this in Jesus' name. And Father, I pray for each and every one of us here today. God, as we seek after you, as we pursue you, God, during these 40 days of prayer and fasting, God, may we desire to know you more and more. May we desire to pursue you with everything that we have. And God, when that gnawing ache of hunger comes, God, when those cravings of food come, may our thoughts turn to you and may we worship you. And so, Father, I pray, put big, God-sized, bold prayers in our hearts to pray and search after you. And may you do something incredible in us and through us over these next 40 days, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. If you want to continue to pray, I encourage you to do so. If you need prayer, we have board members, Pastor Mark, they're here to pray with you. Just find one of them. They'll be glad to pray with you. We want to encourage you, go after God. Ask, it'll be given. Seek, you will find him. Knock, and that door will open. And God will bless you. Go in peace. God bless you. You're dismissed.